Praise the Lord. Dear friends, the infancy narrative of the Gospel of Luke ended by telling that Jesus went down with the parents, came to Nazareth and lived there. And he was growing. He increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. So from the age of 12 till he appeared in public for the baptism by John the Baptizer is a long interval, a period of about 18 or more years. It is again the Gospel of Luke that gives us some indication concerning time. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, verse 23, after the report of the baptism, gives us this information. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his work. That is the summary statement of introducing the public ministry of Jesus. So he has given us two points. The end of the infancy narrative, where Jesus was 12, and the beginning of the public ministry when he is about 30 years. What did he do during these 18 or more long years? How did he grow up? How did he live as a young man? We know absolutely nothing about it. Only one thing is said, that he was a carpenter. And we have this information in the Gospel of Mark as well as in Matthew. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verse 3, it is said, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" The neighbors of Jesus, the inhabitants of Nazareth, were so surprised when they heard for the first time Jesus speak in the synagogue. They were surprised that this man, so known to them as a carpenter, now has turned a prophet. So they were marveling at the wonder that was being worked by him. The words of wisdom that came out of his mouth, they were all surprised. But one thing they know for certain, that he is the village carpenter. So that's the only information we have about Jesus, that he was a carpenter. Now, what does it mean to be a carpenter? There's various interpretations given to this term. The Greek word is tekton. And specialists of the language and exegesis, some of them think that this is a very specialized profession. Not just being a village carpenter, he is an architect. And there had been theories concocted on apparently historical grounds, but with no solid foundations, that Jesus was a master builder. Joseph was a great contractor in the city of Sepphoris. That's only about 5 kilometers northwest of Nazareth. Sepphoris was the capital city of Herod Antipas. And there were great construction work going on. And it is presumed, or it is assumed, argued, that Joseph the carpenter was in great contract business, a builder, building master builder, and Jesus as an apprentice started with him and finally took over the business, that he was a master builder. But there is no solid ground to support this assumption. They further claim that not only in Sepphoris, but later when Herod started building his capital in Tiberias, Jesus was there with his workers, and also in Jerusalem. So he is somehow presented as a flourishing master builder. There is no reason to take it. We have no solid ground except this imagination from the word tekton. Tekton can mean an ordinary carpenter who builds, who constructs a chair, a table, a plow, whatever is the utensils needed for the village life. He could also make the roof of the house. So only one thing we know for certain, that he was a hand worker, a woodcutter who could handle the wood, and by his work he was earning a living. Another important information that comes to us from this period is that he was known as the son of Mary. It's an unusual expression. Usually, the person is called, identified as the son of the father. Now, Joseph is not mentioned here in this particular instance. Maybe because he was already dead. Quite probably. So, Jesus is known as the son of Mary, a carpenter by profession. What about his family? Now we come to a difficult question of the family relations of Jesus. And it's again Mark that giving us some incentives and sometimes maybe also misleading. In the same passage we read, Mark 6 verse 3, we read like this: "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" Apparently, Jesus had his siblings, four brothers, and at least two sisters. Because it is said in plural, are not his sisters, at least two, could be more. So including Jesus, there should be at least seven children as children of Mary and Joseph. And the Protestant churches usually consider that this is the truth. The word brother and sister has to be taken literally, meaning the child of the same father and mother. But it can have other meanings as well. The word Greek word used is adelphos. And normally the word adelphos means a sibling. But it often translates the Hebrew word acha. Acha in Hebrew can mean brother, but it can mean also cousin. As in many Oriental communities, there is no strict word for expressing this identification of the sibling as the sons and daughters of the same parents. In Malayalam also we have the same, sahodaran, sahodari. It can mean a cousin. It can mean also brother or sister. So this kind of understanding of brother and cousin, or confusion between brother and cousin, could be interpreted, could be laying behind the report of Mark. So whenever Mark speaks about the brothers of Jesus coming to take him by force, those who did not believe in him, wherever the brothers of Jesus are mentioned, the same could be applied. It could be his own brother, it could be his cousins. So from the analysis of the term alone, we will not come to a clear conclusion. It's also a question of assumption. The Catholic Church has assumed right from the beginning that Jesus was the only son of Mary, and he was born of the Virgin. Now, the virgin birth and the perpetual virginity of Mary are two different things. It's the article of faith in the creed that he was born of the Virgin. And it is the Gospel, Matthew as well as Luke, that narrates how Jesus was born of a virgin by the special intervention of the Holy Spirit. So there was no sexual union leading to the birth of Jesus. It is a particular action of God, as in creation out of nothing. So here, a child is born from a virgin. But with that, the Gospels stop speaking about the birth. What happened afterwards? Did Mary have other children or not? That is not the theme of discussion in the Gospels. It's a church that teaches us that Mary remained ever virgin. Could be some indication about such a possibility. For example, when Jesus dies on the cross, there stood beside him the mother, other women, and also one of his disciples. None of the brothers or sisters are mentioned there. And why is it that the dying Jesus should hand over his mother to one of his disciples if other sons and daughters were there? For example, in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 26, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. How could it be possible when, if Mary had other four sons and at least two daughters, that a stranger like John should take the mother home? So it is an indication that the sons or the brothers as mean something else. Now, another indication, for example, Mark mentioned four names. Names of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon. And one of these, James, for example, James and Joseph, they come again as the sons of another woman. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 40, we read, "There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the younger and Joses." So James the younger and Joses, here said James and Joses, they are the sons of another Mary, Mary the mother of James. And who is this Mary? Is not the mother of Jesus. It could be the wife of a cousin of Joseph. In the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 25, we have here, at the foot of the cross, there stands a Mary, the wife of Clopas. Mary, the wife of Clopas. And if you go to the list of the apostles given in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, there we have another person, a person called James, son of Alphaeus. So is this Clopas and Alphaeus the same? Scholars think it's the same person known in a slightly different names, James. So it could be a brother of Joseph or a close relative. So these four brothers and two sisters need not be the sons and daughters of Mary. It could be very well the cousins of Jesus. Now another thing, was Jesus married or was he single? The question becomes much important, especially these days, because there are so many stories in circulation, especially the novel Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown, who pretends that he has some hidden documents or ancient gospels he have found in certain libraries, and it comes to the conclusion that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, and Magdalene was pregnant with a child when Jesus died. And after his death, Magdalene came to France and gave birth to a baby daughter, and this daughter survived, and somehow it continues to survive in France under various names. What is important for us is the concocted story of the relation between Magdalene and Jesus. And this is a ground of fruitful imagination. Poets, scriptwriters, filmmakers, novelists all focus on this relation between Mary Magdalene and Jesus. But in the Gospels, we have nothing to support this particular relationship. The disciples never speak about such a relationship. And the church tradition also does not know anything about such a relationship. The assumption that the Apocrypha was forcefully destroyed by the Catholic Church is not true. When the church accepted the Gospels and published the list of canon towards the end of the third century, the criterion was, what is the faith of the church? What are the authentic documents that speak of the historical truth and represent the faith of the church? These were the documents taken as the authentic gospels. There were fantastic stories. Gospels attributed to all the apostles. Gospel of Mary Magdalene and Gospel of Barnabas and many other gospels. Fantastic stories which did not do justice to the authentic Jesus and his teaching. So since it was found misleading, the church did not accept this as documents of faith, as revealed doctrine. So there is no substantial, no proof to substantiate the claim that Jesus was married or in love with Magdalene. We will analyze the character of Magdalene in one of other sessions. Now Jesus was an unmarried person. Around the age of 30, he was a carpenter by profession, and he was the only son of Mary, and his father was supposed to be Joseph, but in reality, he was born of a virgin. And now, what is the language he spoke? He spoke the language of the ordinary persons. The people in Palestine, and especially in Galilee, they spoke Aramaic. And Jesus also spoke the same language. He was not a trained rabbi. He did not have any formal education as a religious teacher or any other teacher. But he was considered a master in his trade, a person of experience, a person who earned his bread by hard work, a person who observed the nature closely, who was familiar with the life and the hardships of his countrymen. He knew all sorts of people. He knew the worries and the anxieties of the farmers. He knew the problems of the fishermen whose nets were empty. He knew the problems of women who did not have enough food or clothing. So the ordinary people. He knew also the luxury of the rich. A person who was acquainted with the whole life of the country, be it in the city, be it in the palaces, the mansions, or villages. A person who was thoroughly immersed in the life, an ordinary lay person. How did he work? How did he start his work? And what did he bring? We will see in our next talks. Now let us close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son as an ordinary human being who became one like us in everything except sin. He knew hunger and thirst. He knew the fatigue of hard work and of unemployment. He knew all our emotions. He grew up like one of us. So you are aware of our pains, our fatigue, our aspirations and despair. Heavenly Father, thank you for participating in our lives. Enable us to understand you and your love, who accepts us as we are. Thank you for sending your Son as a carpenter. Enable us also to appreciate the work we do, the sweat of the brow, the fatigue of the muscles, and the care and concern for the weak. Enable us to appreciate the workers who work for the well-being of the humanity. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.